Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. Go ahead.
Brandi is definitely
down. Go ahead.
She's definitely down, as in sitting down. She has not gotten out of her chair yet. Her and Monica Basie have spent the entire verses doing verses from their chair. No one's even touching the Ciroc, George. How are you going to sit there next to Ciroc for like an hour or so and not touch the bottle? It's like a prop. Man. Who uses Ciroc as a prop?
That's so funny. That is so funny, man. Oh, man. That is hilarious. Kevin Frazier of Entertainment Tonight, of course, an ESPN alum. We love having him on the station. We want to talk to him about a number of things, including this Brandi Monica face-off that I don't think anyone, at least I didn't know was happening today until we stumbled upon it. Kevin Frazier, have you been keeping an eye on this on Instagram?
We've been waiting for this forever. This is going to be a monster. This is what we've waited for. And it's interesting because we were talking about it today and we were running some old footage of the two ladies talking back before they had a little falling out. Now they're back together. They're friends again. But this is a big, big deal. You know, they had big hits together and then everything fell apart. Now they're back together. And this is the verses a lot of people wanted to see.
Kevin, are you disappointed like I am for the lack of upstanding booging that should be happening during some of these moments? Monica stood up and grew for about 3 seconds and then sat back down. I haven't seen Brandi get up yet. Like, it's just two aunties sitting on the porch listening to jams but not actually performing and entertaining us.
I think we wanted more, but I also think that the ladies are being a little reserved. I'm hoping that it's going to ramp up.
Okay. Saving their energy for the finale or something?
I hope they're
true.
Bring some heat.
LZ referred to them as two aunties sitting down there, Kevin.
Because what you're getting into now is nobody wants to show up the other. They want to be respectful. You know, that's the problem with these verses. Everybody gets in such a lovable mood that there's no real...
Right.
We need a little seasoning salt dropped on top of some of these, you know?
Something.
We want some fire, some flames. Give us something, you know? Like, look, dudes can go at each other or ladies can go at each other on the tennis court or in a game or something like that and then walk off and still be friends.
You know what would have been a great versus? A great versus would have been Aretha Franklin versus Patti LaBelle. Now that would have been a versus.
That would have been a versus. Anyone who has never seen it, go back and look at Aretha and Patti at the White House when Aretha was being honored and Patti went to grab her hand. And look at the look that Aretha gives Patti. It's unbelievable. You're like, yo. What's that about? That would have
been
real.
It's like 1980s NBA basketball beef between those two. That's real.
That's what I'm saying. It's like Maurice Lucas being on the court. Mo Lucas would love off the court, but he'd take your head off and clothesline you once you walk in between the lines.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no question.
Yes, sir, indeed.
No question. Of Entertainment Tonight with us here. Kevin, we were talking earlier in the show about, and this was really the original reason we wanted to bring you on, other than we love talking to you, of course, about, you know, Chadwick's passing and just, you know, what he meant, what to do with the franchise beyond this. But let's start with him and what he meant to not only the black community, but just everyone. I mean, you're talking about some of the most iconic roles that he took on. How would you best surmise his career?
I think that, first of all, I want to say this, that when you understand the importance of the characters that he played, Jackie Robinson, who broke the color barrier, I mean, Thurgood Marshall, who not only was a part of the NAACP Civil Defense Fund, but he was, of course, your first Supreme Court Justice of color. And then, you look at James Brown, and people really don't understand the story of James Brown and what he meant to black folks and how he was a revolutionary and also how he really is the godfather of rap music because so much of his music and sounds are sampled and what he, you know, engineered musically was amazing. So you just look at those things, but then he comes out and he was such a private but elegant and dignified man. And so that's why he was so perfect for Black Panther. I mean, there's an elegance to him that he brought to that role. The fact that he was speaking a real African language when he first appeared in the Civil War movies and then in those scenes with his father, that was a real language that he picked up on the fly. So, I mean, there was just an authenticity, a dignity, and an elegance about him. And we don't see elegance a lot anymore.
You know, you're absolutely correct in terms of him being both grace and elegance in his interpretation of these characters, but also just in the way that he carried his everyday life. Can you talk a little bit about his willingness to use his platform to make a space to be unapologetically Black?
Yeah, well, without a doubt. I mean, besides Black Panther, you know, one of the things I always think about is at the 42 premiere, and he was so excited. And he was so excited because he could also walk the carpet with Mrs. Robinson. And it was just kind of a beautiful moment because he understood the significance of this role for African Americans. And while we say, oh, you know, well, you know, Jackie Robinson, he broke the color barrier, and that was so important. No, no, no. He was more than that. At a time where you couldn't get elected officials anywhere that were African American, you couldn't have what we can have now today, Jackie Robinson was everything, not just an athlete. And he really did a great job of embodying that. And it went on throughout all his roles. Like, you know, not only the nasty funk and craziness of James Brown, but also the man who had his eye on the Black community as a businessman. And then when you look at Black Panther, it was just a revolutionary moment. And Ryan Coogler, the director of it, he said, you know, they were asking him, the Russo brothers from Marvel were asking him to do this movie, and he you know, he's like, well, let me see, and who's going to be, you know, have the main role? And he's like, well, it's going to be Chadwick Boseman. He's like, okay, well, let me see. And he sat down with Chadwick and talked to him and then watched some of the work he had done, and he was like, oh, I got to make this movie now. This dude is perfect. He's legit. And so you look at all those things and how you have that person that you can look at. And in many ways, I say this about a LeBron. You have someone that you can look at, and not only are they outstanding at their craft, but you understand that their interests, their personal interests, are in helping your interests. Those are people that help advance the cause, and he was one of those people.
Kevin Frazier of Entertainment Tonight joining us here on Sedano and LZ on 710 ESPN. What do you think they should do with the franchise, Kevin?
Well, I mean, if you've read the books, you know that his sister is supposed to take over the role of Black Panther. And I think that there will be a way that they will be able to film and integrate a portion of it. You know, Fast and Furious handled Paul
right.
Walker's death.
Yeah.
You know, there are franchises that have done that before. And I think you have to handle his death in a way that you can honor him, too, with that next movie. You want the world to understand what he meant to each and every person.
When you think about, you know, Chadwick's focus on making sure he didn't represent or certainly wasn't a pigeonholed into being a stereotypical representation of the African-American community, do you feel as if in today's Hollywood, which you've covered for a long time now, that still needs to be an impetus or a focus? Or do we have enough Ryan Cooglers? Do we have enough minority creatives where you don't have to be as focused about that if you're an actor or an actress anymore?
No, we're on our way. Like, Ryan Coogler is amazing. Deion Taylor is amazing. Ava DuVernay is amazing. But these people are now bringing authentic and important stories to the forefront, stories that need to be told. And that is where, you know, that's what made Chadwick special, is that authenticity that he brought to each and every role. The fact that he remained in character the whole time he was shooting Get On Up, And that's like, you're like, what? And you're like, yeah, that's how serious he took the role. And it's like when you look at the seriousness that Jamie brought to Ray, you know, you look at the seriousness that Denzel brought to Malcolm. That is when someone immerses themselves in a role and it is something that you will forever walk and stay with you. And so I think that that's important, but we haven't reached a point where in Hollywood it's all good and we're telling authentic and beautiful stories. You know, there's a movie that just came out now, 24th. I don't know if you've seen it. It went direct to video. It is the story of what they call the Houston race riot, where a group of soldiers turned on the townspeople because the way the police were treating them, the beatings that they were taking from the police, and the way that they were getting these U.S. soldiers in 1918 were getting treated in the Jim Crow South, these black soldiers. It's stories that we don't know. There are so many stories that tell tell about the fabric of America that we still don't know, and we need to learn, and they need to be told. And we also need more stories where you see authentic African-American life. There's many layers. There are regular old folks out there that are just, you know, kids go to school, we had the Cosby Show, you know, and now we have Black-ish. Look how long it was in between those two. And we had a few things in between, but it's not regular. And so we need to see more representations of all sorts of life, but especially African-American life, because I think it also will help change the way that African-Americans are viewed when you walk out in the street.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Kevin Frazier of Entertainment Tonight with us here. Kevin, one last thing before we let you go. Of course, we got to talk a little sports with you. We just had the Milwaukee Bucks lose to the Miami Heat. There have been a lot of interesting things and scenarios that have gone on in the bubble. Who do you like? What do you like? Who do you like to get into the conference finals? Who do you like to get to the finals? What kind of matchups are you looking out for?
I'm going to tell you something. It's so crazy in the bubble. I mean, it's like, it's ludicrous. Like, T.J. Warren was the MVP of the bubble for a long time. You have to look at, like, people play different in the bubble. But, look, I want to see Lakers-Clippers bad. Everybody wants to see it. And, you know, look, I think the Bucks may have stumbled there, and Miami is playing well, and they have some great pieces, and Jimmy Butler is so talented, but they're not going to beat the Bucks. They're not going to. And I don't know how much of what is going on in Kenosha is affecting that team and could be even tearing that team apart because they're, you know, but you play basketball, then you go back into your room and you sit there and you see what's going on in your hometown and you're wondering, gosh, should we be there? Should we be a voice? And there are some guys who are like, gosh, I don't want to play. So, look, I think the Bucks will get through and they'll be okay. I don't think they'll stumble. I don't think they'll lose. And I think they'll be ready for the finals. It's just, who are they going to see from the West? That's a big question. Because Houston's crazy, man. You know? Like, let's be honest.
Yeah.
They're crazy. I mean, who's going to win between Denver and Utah?
Right.
We don't know.
Yeah, it's wild.
Kyle Murray could go bunkers. Bunkers.
Again.
I mean, he's crazy. To watch him after that game yesterday and the emotions he was going through, that he spent himself, and he was also so spent thinking about who he was playing for and why he was playing. Crazy. Crazy. And I also have to say this. Can we say props to the NBA players for getting these arenas opened up as polling places?
Absolutely.
We don't stop for a second and thank them enough, because that's a big deal. People will go down to the Staples Center to vote and stand in line happily and walk around the second concourse. We have to understand that these guys put their livelihood on the line. They said, you know what? We're going to put it all on the line. We're going to walk out right now. And they could have gotten locked out by the owners. The owners could have said, forget it, and then we'll have a lockout, and guys could have lost millions, tens of millions of dollars. So I'm just so appreciative to what to the NBA players and what they have done. I think it's incredible what they're doing in the bubble.
There is no
doubt about it.
Kevin Frazier, Entertainment Tonight. Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for hanging out with us, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Are you watching the Open? Have you watched?
I was watching the U.S. Open, and then George made me turn to the Bucks game because Miami was winning. I'm pretty sure if Miami was losing, he would have let me watch tennis in peace.
Keep an eye on my girl Taylor Townsend. Okay.
Oh, Taylor's been getting it in. TT has been getting it in. It started last year. Hopefully she can sustain. It's just been like a weird, it's weird for everybody in every industry. But as an athlete, the stop and stoppage and the way your body is usually set up in terms of, timing, everything is off. So I wouldn't be surprised if two people we've never heard of end up winning the U.S. Open this year.
Taylor Townsend is coming.
I hope so.
Okay.
I also hope Brandy actually stands up because she's been sitting this whole time, and it's bothering me now. Now I'm mad.
All right, I gotta go back to watching this. Okay.
Hi, Kevin. Okay. See you, man. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys. All right, talk to you soon.
See you. Take care. There's Kevin Frazier of Entertainment Tonight. Good Lord.
I mean, George, they're not touching the Ciroc. They're not standing. They're not dancing.
Right.
Monica got some Gatorade, like she's balling or something. No one's drinking.
Yeah.
That's not a versus. That's a whiff. Versus, you're supposed to be going at each other. I'm a teammate. I don't like it.
That's funny. We're going to combine here real quick. So in the interim, what I'm going to do is we have like 5 minutes here, LZ. But in the interim, I'm going to tell people that streaming on September 4th, Disney's new movie Mulan is coming. Experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom. Available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock their premiere access. All right, so let's you and I talk about this game that's tipped off just now and what just transpired here. Do you agree with Kevin that Milwaukee is going to win the East no matter what? Because you and I were talking about this last week, and we weren't necessarily so sure.
No. And I don't think Kevin should be that sure either. I understand that the, Los Angeles Lakers appear to have a supporting cast that's, not on par with some of the other teams that are in the bubble. I understand people have that perception.
Right.
But honestly, after Giannis and Middleton, you got a bunch of unprovens playing for the Milwaukee Bucks as well.
Right. George Hill is old and a veteran, right? But he there's only so much he's going to give you on a night on a consistent basis.
Right. And Bledsoe's inconsistent. Right. Kyle Korver is and the tail end, Brooke Lopez is was a fine post player who's turned into a shooter. But in terms of being a dominant big man, he's never really been that. Not dominant. He's been really good, but not AD level. He's not there. Nowhere near there. Yeah. So I understand that people look at the supporting cast for the Bucks and go, "Huh," like they do with the Lakers. It's just that our top two is just way better than their top two anyway.
Yeah. I've also will say this, and you and I talked about this when it comes to Milwaukee, is Giannis is amazing. He's, in theory, he's the best player on the floor, though tonight it was Jimmy Butler. But he's limited, right? He has flaws, real holes in his game, LZ, where he doesn't shoot the free throws very well. He doesn't shoot that well, period, right? He doesn't have an in-between game. It's why I've said consistently, the winner of Lakers-Clippers is going to be the NBA champion. Like, that to me is really what's going to do, barring an injury or something like that. You know what I mean? Or all of a sudden, Giannis hitting shots that he hasn't hit really ever, right? And we forget he's only 26 years old, right? 25, 26. His game is still, he's going to grow, right? Like, he's going to get better at that stuff. His shooting percentage is better now than it's ever been. It was 38%. He's just not taking that many of them. He's careful. But now in the playoffs, good coaches are going to force you into those shots you don't want to take. And that's what happened today. Giannis saw it, a defense that he hadn't seen before. Like, Eric Spoelstra's won two championships. You know what I mean? Like, he knows what it takes to win playoff games. And I think that part of it is underrated. Jimmy Butler is good, dude. Like, he's good. And they've got bodies that they can throw at Giannis. Like, it's, I don't know if they're going to win this series, but they are absolutely going to push Milwaukee to the brink.
I mean, listen, if we're being, you know, real for a second, Giannis might win MVP in a repeat, and he's been very, very good.
Right.
I just don't like the fact that when people begin the conversation, they start with the stats and not with the eyeball test.
Correct. It's why I would have voted for LeBron.
Eyeball test.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every single time. Every time LeBron over Giannis, regardless what the stats say, because I know how the stats are coming, I understand the responsibility that both players have. Giannis, as great as he is not responsible for setting up the offense for his entire team. He passes the ball when he's doubled or when he needs to. LeBron has a whole new, has a whole totally different set of responsibilities. Getting, you know, AD off, making sure the other players are set up, controlling the tempo of both teams. He controls the tempo of both teams. This is the pace we're playing tonight. That's right. What LeBron James does.
Yeah. But no, Giannis
is an amazing talent.
Right. But he only plays one speed. It's got to be fast. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like today, what Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra and the Heat and those guys and Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder, all those guys that they threw at him, bam, they, in the second half, the pace slowed down. And it became a brawl in that game. And I don't know if Giannis is skilled enough, like LeBron or Kawhi, to win a brawl.
Yeah. Well, because in order to win a brawl, you don't need to get to your spots because the entire floor is your spot.
Right.
And that's not true for him. The entire floor is not his spot. It's not where he can score. He needs to get to certain places. And then he needs to force himself to certain places if he can't get there naturally. And when you start forcing yourself or try to force yourself to get in certain places in a half-court set, it just becomes nearly impossible, right? Like, if you want the ball here, but you're in a half-court set and you simply can't get there, there's nothing you can do. And, oh, my gosh, this tennis set looks absolutely ridiculous. You got the two hosts, Darren Cahill and Chris McKendry. They're on separate little tables, 6 feet apart. It just looks weird.
What do you make of this? Let's do this on the other side. Let's talk about this Rockets OKC series on the other side. Plus you, because look, I'm curious to get your thoughts about who has the tougher matchup potentially, the Lakers or the Clippers here coming up in the second round. So we'll do that. A quick update on the NBA trade deadline, excuse me, the MLB trade deadline as well.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Uh-oh. Is the battle still going on, LZ?
Is it a battle if no one stands up?
Oh, yes.
A rude conversation. I'm really perplexed by this. Did you see the Snoop and DMX versus?
I did see it, yes.
They were up. DMX
was very tired.
They were moving. He was tired, this is true. But at least they were up and trying to give you like a performance. These two are sitting here like folk singers. All they need are a couple of acoustic guitars. I need them to get up. Dance, move, drink the Ciroc, for heaven's sakes. This is so offensive.
I know. I'm with you. At least have fun with it, right? It feels like it's it just does. It feels maybe a little corporate. Is that a good way to describe it?
It feels like a, yeah, it's corporate, well, except for what Brandy's wearing. It's not very corporate, but the setup feels very polite. I will say.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
It's very
need.
Polite.
I need. Yeah, I you know, there needs to be some animosity shown somewhere, I feel like. Yes, I'm with you.
It's versus.
LZ. Yeah, right, yes. Exactly, versus. It's a competition, you know, at least in our minds. LZ, Rockets-Thunder. Rockets-Thunder.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I think the Rockets close this thing out tonight.
Well, so far, no good.
I mean, it's first quarter.
Both playing, I know, but they're both playing so nasty. But I would assume so. You know, the Houston Rockets look a totally different team once they got a healthy, you know, Russell Westbrook to be back in the fold. But I will say, first of all, shout out to Naomi Osaka, who's got Breonna Taylor's name on her face mask that she gives this interview for the U.S. Open. Okay, back to your question. Yeah, they're a different team with Russ, and I think too much talent with Russ. So, yeah, in all likelihood, this is the end unless, you know, Gennaro Gallinari decides to go off from downtown or something to make things interesting. They're likely going to get blown out in this game, too, despite the rough start. And that's fine because we would much rather have an entertaining series, in my opinion. And Houston versus the Lakers is far more entertaining than anything OKC would present.
Oh, there's no question. You and I root for the same thing. We root for the best storylines, right? You and I got to talk about it. And at least the Rockets series, the individual games will be competitive. There is this yin versus yang, right, of like contrasting styles of this ultra small ball versus LeBron and AD and the Lakers playing big, right? Like there's so many storylines here. Obviously, all the James Harden stuff, right? I think that, you know,
yep.
That in itself is a whole show if you want to do it. But like I do feel like for as great as Chris Paul has played this season, and by the way, had I had a vote for MVP and I did not, I would have put him third on my ballot this year. They were a 33-win team. They were a 33-win team in Vegas this year, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they ended up being the 4 seed. I think he meant more to that team this year as much as anyone. You can make the case. Like, he was incredible. He was Chris Paul again. And I think that if I had a vote, and I did it on ESPN.com's vote, I voted him third on my ballot behind LeBron and Giannis.
Wow. I'm just trying to think. Okay, I got LeBron. I got Giannis.
I had Luka 4.
Other teams that surprised me would have probably been Memphis, who were so bad. Andre Iguodala said, just fly over the state of Tennessee. Don't even stop to even pick up a check. And then they ended up not being eliminated to the last game of the regular season. Not that you would make, you know, the kid an MVP candidate, but it's just kind of similar sort of shock in terms of how the regular season ended. But honestly, I probably would have, if I had a vote, I probably would have voted Dame third as opposed to Chris Paul. But I understand and can appreciate why you are leaning the way that you are.
Yeah, I just felt like he was incredible this season, like for real. Like I think it was just pretty wild the way he played, man. It was just nuts. And good for him. I'm a fan of his personally and professionally. So I'm happy that he had such a great season. So who has the tougher matchup potentially? Whoever comes out of Denver, Utah versus the Clippers or the Rockets and Lakers?
Oh, Rockets, Lakers for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Rockets, Lakers, 100%. I mean, first of all, you're facing, what, two MVPs?
Yeah.
And not like eight MVPs past their prime. No, two MVPs in their prime. You're facing a team that's, you know, potentially can explode for 40 points in any quarter because of their propensity to shoot and make threes. And you also know that this isn't a team that's going to be afraid. I think that when I look at, you know, Jokic, I see a guy who's afraid. And I see a guy who sulks. And I see a guy who doesn't always do what the team needs him to do. And when Jamal Murray was cooking yesterday, the number of times that I personally watched Jokic sulk because he wasn't getting the ball was astounding to me. It's an elimination game. Jamal Murray can't be stopped. He got 25 points, I think, in the first half. And their supposed best player is out there sulking because he's not getting enough touches. And I was like, this cannot be your best guy. He can't have that energy in an elimination game when clearly, you know, whether he's Batman or Robin, I don't care. He's cooking. You support and try to make sure that he continues to cook. You don't stand out there 3 feet behind the three-point line sulking because he didn't swing the rock back to you. So that's the reason why I'm like, yeah, you know, either way it goes, neither one is going to be much of a threat for Kawhi, PG, Doc, and the Clippers.
LZ, we played earlier, courtesy of our friends at the Lebatard Show, what they call the Parade of Gas Bags, which was a collection of ESPN colleagues and friends of ours all slandering the Lakers in that Blazers-Lakers series. So there is another one, courtesy of a young man who I follow on Twitter who does a great job with this kind of stuff on Twitter, called @PickupHoop. And if you don't follow him, you should, because he's just that interesting. He's a big Lakers fan, too. And he created his own version of the Parade of Gas Bags, which includes some of our friends who aren't colleagues here at ESPN LZ. And you may recognize some of these voices as well. Go ahead, Laura, play it before we hit the break.
The Portland Trail Blazers, they might have a chance to beat the Lakers.
If the Portland Trail Blazers get in the playoffs, they will beat the Los Angeles Lakers in the first round.
I am picking Portland to beat the Lakers.
If you can make shots and you have elite guard play, you can beat the Lakers. I am very, very worried about the Los Angeles Lakers in the first round if they play the Portland Trail Blazers. I'm not going to go as far as to say it's a foregone conclusion they'll lose, but they could. And here's the prediction I will make. That particular series would go seven games.
The Lakers should be worried, and they should be scared, because for asking who gonna guard Bron, who gonna guard AD, which are valid questions, who the heck gonna guard Dame? That's my real concern. On any given night, we've seen LeBron, and you've talked about it recently. Like, LeBron, if he go off, he might go off for 35. If Dame go off, Dame going off about 45, 50.
Yeah.
Plus you got CJ, plus you got Nurk, and then you got Melo, who's showing himself to be the Hall of Famer that he truly is all over again. So I look at the totality of the Trail Blazers, and I think that the Lakers will be in big, big trouble.
I'm concerned about the Lakers. I'm concerned. They may go down in history as the third team to lose to an eighth seed in the first round, because this is the best eighth seed that the NBA has ever seen in NBA history.
So we've heard Paul Pierce there. We heard Jay Williams there. We heard our old friend Colin Cowherd there. Emmanuel Acho, who also worked at ESPN, who now works with Marcellus Wiley at, what was that Max called it, that they work at, LZ? The Witness Protection Network, right? Yeah, that's what Max referred
Marcellus
to.
Marcellus is still alive? Oh, I didn't know Marcellus was still alive. That's good news.
Yeah, it is. I'm happy to hear that. So we're going to have some fun with that over the next couple of days. We've got those two in the bank. And before the Lakers series, maybe we'll stretch it out a little more, LZ. Get a little extra usage out of it, since the Lakers probably won't play till at least Wednesday. Have some fun at the expense of our pals. Is that okay with you? You okay with that?
It is, but I'm going to need Laura to do something for me. I'm going to need her to just eliminate the Paul Pierce sound, because he ain't concerned about the Lakers. He ain't concerned one bit about the Lakers. He would love for the Lakers to lose. He ain't concerned. When you say you're concerned about something, that means you're rooting for them. Do you think he's rooting for us?
Probably not, is what I would have to guess, yeah.
Exactly. What were you drinking there?
I'm drinking a little mango orange sparkling ice water, full of antioxidants and vitamin zero sugar.
Sounds bougie. Is it bougie?
It's really not that bougie. You can buy them for like a dollar at Ralph's or whatever.
All right. Laura. Yeah. All right. Laura told me to wrap, so I'm not going to give.
Laura says we got to wrap, so we got to go.
Bougie cocktail.
Ask Scott Kaplan about bougie water drinks. Oh, I'm sorry, Alan Sliwa, Lakers talk. Yes, we can talk Lakers talk. That's
Sliwa,
twice I've done that.
Sliwa.
Alan
Sliwa. So he'll know.
He is bougie. He drinks Sincoro tequila. Sedano and LZ with you here. Crosstalk with Laker talk for Alan Sliwa, our buddy. Sliwa, are you still drinking that Sincoro tequila after the Lakers wrapped up that series? What's going on there?
I am. It's been about 2 days of celebration now. It was listening to you guys play back all the predictions from all the experts everywhere, specifically ESPN, it is kind of funny to see how the series ended up playing out, the way Lakers closed it in five, and, you know, of course, Damian Lillard's knee injury. But George, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. We felt like there was too much hype behind the Blazers. I don't want to take credit away from them. They were great in the bubble. They went 7-2 to put themselves in that position. But you guys said something a little bit earlier. You guys talked about just the drop-off after LeBron James and Anthony Davis and Dame and C.J. McCollum. They are nice players, but you can't even have a conversation trying to compare the, you know, the duos or whatever the case is. So it's nice to see the Lakers take care of business, and they did it in five games.
They did do it in five games. And, you know, one of the things that I guess gave me peace of mind, even though I respected the Blazers and encouraged people to respect what the Blazers were, was that even though their shots weren't falling in the bubble, the execution of the offense to me was still there in the sense of they got the shots that they wanted. They just weren't falling. To me, I classify struggling offenses as they're not able to get good shots. That wasn't the Lakers' problems in the bubble. They just weren't falling. In this Portland series, after game one, those shots started to fall.
LZ was nice, too, just to get listen, if it was Memphis in round one, I don't know how much hype was going to be around that series. I think the fact that it was Portland probably woke up the Lakers a little bit. Now, granted, everybody who watched or listened right here on game five, it was Lakers were beyond just going through the motion. So I think Lakers have picked and choose when they want to try and when they don't want to try. But I think there is something to getting Portland round one, probably most likely Rockets in round two. And if that's the case, you're just kind of gearing up to what's inevitable. Lakers, Clippers, Western Conference Finals. I think no matter how, whatever the matchup is in either one of these, whoever Lakers play or Clippers, I think everybody is assuming that's what's going to be, assuming that's what's going to be to get to the NBA Finals.
Who do you think is the tougher matchup, Alan? We were just talking about it briefly. It potentially, right? In theory, we're expecting the Rockets to come out of this series, even though I think tonight will be a close game.
Mm-hmm.
I still think the Rockets win the series no matter what. Barring, well, I shouldn't say no matter what, right? Barring a catastrophic injury to, like, James particularly. But and then, of course, the Clippers will face either Denver or Utah, which we'll know the winner of tomorrow. Who do you think has the tougher opponent potentially in those scenarios?
I think, you know, when the seeding games were happening, I was finding myself, I kept looking at the standings. I'm like, gosh, I'd love to see Houston versus Clippers in the second round. Like, I wanted Clippers to have to face the Rockets. So I think just based off of that, I think it is going to be a tougher matchup for the Lakers. I think they'll have, Houston's just, they're such a awkward team, you know, if they played the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know exactly what you're going to get. I think with the Rockets, just the mere fact that they go so small, they take so many threes. What if they have a game where they hit 25 three-pointers or a couple games like that? And that could happen against the Rockets. Now, do I feel like the Lakers in a seven-game set will lose to the Rockets? I really, really don't. Genuinely, I feel it doesn't matter whether it's the Thunder or the Rockets, but I think that's a tougher matchup than what the Clippers would have to face with either Denver or Utah.
I tell you this, I believe that what the Houston Rockets will help the Lakers do is keep their groove going,
mm-hmm.
because their perimeter defense, you know, is, it's a D'Antoni team, so And you want them to come in against the Clippers feeling confident about their stroke and not second-guessing their stroke. And you do that by getting up plenty of shots and seeing those shots fall down just helps you build confidence. And I feel that against the Oklahoma City Thunder, who play better defense, that won't allow some of our role players to get those open looks, to get that groove going. So I like Houston because I think it's going to prepare the role players to be more comfortable shooting their shot versus facing a team that plays grittier defense like the Thunder.
It's going to be, you know, LZ, just from an entertainment perspective, I kind of just want to see, you know, James Harden, Russell Westbrook get a seven-game set against the Lakers. I think from entertainment perspective, again, I don't think that the Rockets will beat the Lakers or virtually I don't think it's going to go seven games either. So I, you know, from a protecting the Lakers here in a sense of you don't want them to face a matchup where you feel like they can actually lose, I think it'll be more entertaining. Now, I know, and you know, we all got the game on in the background. If Houston wins tonight, okay, most likely Lakers Wednesday. That'll be round one. By the way, I'll ask both of you guys this: the Houston or the Utah Denver matchup. I know not that many people are talking about it, but Georgia, how entertaining has that been? How much fun has that been? Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, LZ and I have been talking about it a lot. Just it's been really entertaining to watch. I know that in theory that's probably going to be the lowest rated series of this round, but if you love sports, mm-hmm. you should be watching that series every single game.
Yeah,
it's a game seven. It's a game seven. So if you love sports, you should want to watch a game seven. Regardless.
Oh no, for sure. But I'm saying there's only been one blowout in that game. Everything else has been somewhat tightly contested.
LZ, the back and forth of those two guys, right? Just Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray, two players that, you know, who knows where they're going to be in 3, 4, 5 years. So you just getting a taste of that has been entertaining. By the way, what do you guys think of Milwaukee and Miami? Miami grabbing game one.
Look, it's going to be – people don't realize that there is a contrasting style there.
Mm-hmm.
Miami wants to play in the half court because they have players who can execute really well in the half court. Milwaukee does not. Milwaukee wants to play at the fastest pace in the league, which is what they do, and allows them to also play defense a certain way as well, which is basically pack the paint. And the Heat have guys that can guard Giannis and make life hard on him.
Oh, yeah.
He took 12 shots today. And that was because of the way they defended him. So I don't know if they can win it against Milwaukee, but I do think they're in for a long series. I don't think there's any question about that.
LZ, you think they could beat them? I think they could actually win that series. And I know that's the conversation you have in the Eastern Conference. For the most part, everybody just says Raptors and Bucks. But don't you feel... I almost feel like Miami, everything they've done, you know, even what they did up in the trade deadline, buyout market, everything was to go up just against the Milwaukee Bucks. It should be a fascinating series. George, if they don't beat them, I'll go with you on that one. It definitely is going to be a game or a series that's extended.
I like teams that come at you in waves, and I feel that Miami comes at you in waves. I feel like the Raptors come at you in waves. I feel like the Clippers come at you in waves. And so I just tend to like those teams more because it gives you more options offensively. And theoretically, you don't lose a great deal when you start subbing in your starters for subs. Your defense is still right there. I think that, as much as anything, is one of the reasons why the Milwaukee Bucks will be in for a tough series, is that the platoon that they're going to be facing from Miami forces your team to run on all cylinders to keep up. And if you have a single cog not functioning well, it could derail you.
Yeah, I'm just so, I guess you could say, how much you enjoy this postseason so far. And, you know, even that stoppage, which I thought was so critical and so important on Wednesday, stopped Wednesday through, you know, Friday and Saturday, got it back. But it's been, from a competitive perspective, it's been amazing. It really has been. Were you guys making the argument a little bit earlier when you guys were talking about Giannis and how, George, I think you were mentioning this, he's got holes in his game.
Yeah.
John mentioned this. Ireland talked about this last week. He didn't mention Giannis's name, but let me throw Giannis in there. He said out of all the young players under the 25 or younger, you know, who would you start your franchise with? Of course, Devin Booker. You can go through the list of names. Luka's always the one that stands out. But if you're comparing between Luka and Giannis, I think I'm still going Luka. You know, you guys were making some points about Giannis, and I don't want to take anything away from Giannis, but what Luka does is so unique. When you guys were making the comparisons to why you would give LeBron James the MVP this year because of how he gets everybody else involved, I feel like that part's not talked about enough. But I thought that argument was interesting, and if you're starting a franchise, I know I don't want to just hop all over Giannis because he lost game one of the semifinals, but I heard John talking about that last week. I get you both your thoughts on that one. If you're starting a franchise between Luka or Giannis, who you taking?
I'm still Giannis. Taking Giannis. Cause
still
of the
taking
defense.
Giannis.
Yeah, I can teach him how to shoot. Giannis. We've seen guys learn to shoot. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think that you know, Luka, for as great as he is offensively, if he's just average defensively, that's what you want. You know what I mean? And I don't know if his ceiling is any higher than that, LZ. Would that be fair on defense?
Listen, first of all, you can't teach height. So I'm already thinking I'm going Giannis just because he's just a bigger player. And the fact that his height isn't in any situation a detriment to him as a player makes him even more enticing. And to your point, George, you can teach people how to shoot. We taught Jason Kidd how to shoot, Michael Redd how to shoot, Magic Johnson, Kevin McHale, if you want to go back to the 80s and 90s, became three-point shooters after primarily scoring most of their buckets in the paint. So learning that skill can be accomplished. I'm actually taking Jason Tatum before I take Luka too, to be quite honest with you. As great as Luka is, I just think guys under 25, give me Jason Tatum.
I don't know if, you know, just staying with that, you think Tatum, just use that as an example, put him on that Dallas Mavericks team for a couple games, even without Kristaps Porzingis, against the Clippers. I saw something, you know, the way Luka controlled things, the way, you know, you guys are saying, well, you know, there's certain things you can teach. You could teach somebody how to hit a jumper. The one thing that, you know, I love more than anything else with Luka, they surrounded the players that are surrounding him are perfect complements to him, and I don't even think they're that good. Yes, they're good spot-up shooters, but what's in front of Luka, the future over the next 3, 4, 5 years, I can only imagine what that looks like. You take Tatum over him, huh?
Well, I've said for the better part of a year now that I see elements of Kobe and Jason Tatum. Yeah. And I think Jason Tatum has shown you in the postseason that he's not afraid regardless of who's in front of you. And remember those series he had against LeBron James. He gave LBJ work. So, and he's still trying to figure it out himself. His handles have gotten better. He's becoming more unselfish. He's more balanced in the mid-range game with his shot. I know Luka is a fantastic offensive player. But I just like the way that Jason Tatum dominates versus the way that Luka dominates. And he does dominate, but I just like Jason Tatum's version of domination better.
Yeah, I mean, it's close. Right now, I think Luka's the better player. I think he's the more impactful player. That's the way I would say. Because of what he, I mean, look, man, they were missing Porzingis for most of this series. They were missing Dwight Powell, who's a big part of what they in their screen and roll game. You know, they missed a number of guys. And he took those guys and made them pretty fairly competitive against a Clippers team that in some places is the favorite to win the whole thing. So I just think he's got tremendous impact, not to take anything away from Jason Tatum. LZ may be right in the end, but today I would take Luka.
Yeah, it's going to be fun watching the rest of that series too, the Boston Toronto series. But this Houston Oklahoma series, as we get going in the show tonight, definitely keep everybody in tune. If Houston wins, that's who Lakers got in round two. It'll be fun to talk about that tonight.
Well, enjoy the show, buddy. Have a great show, and always good catching up with you.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right, Alan Sliwa, Lakers Talk is up next. LZ, an excellent show as always. Yes.
I feel good. I feel good about it.
It went very fast, which is always a good sign. Thanks to Greg and Laura. You guys are great. Even you, Greg. You didn't take any L's today, though, Greg, I don't believe.
That was nice.
Yeah. It's occasional. Right, Laura?
Every once in a while. One before we go.
Yeah. You can? Go ahead.
I can give you an L before we go if you want one.
Look, I'm used to them by now. It doesn't change anything for me. So, go ahead.
We'll save them for tomorrow, Elsie. Save them for tomorrow. Yeah, and I'm sure Laura will find one anyway because she's always good at just making sure to remind us if Greg does or says anything. So, there's that. Excellent job, Greg and Laura. Thank you for those that tuned in and called in. Thanks to Kevin Frazier. Thanks to Kirk Morrison. And thanks to Scott Miller of Bleacher Report and their MLB Insider. All right. We are done here. Sliwa's up next with Laker Talk. Have a great evening. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4. See ya.